It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
You know, that always gets me when I least expect it. That's crazy. She got me, though, right?
Absolutely.
She got me. Yeah. Yep. That was Junior talking about my pronouns. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Wednesday, May 24th, 2023, and I'm kind of really stoked right now. The Diamondbacks are just playing out of their minds.
Yeah.
9 out of their last 11 in the win column. They're winning today. Last I checked, it was 5-0 against the Phillies. Game started at 10 o'clock. So anyway, that's over on the sports station. And I just found out, I'm going to do a little bit of housekeeping before I introduce you guys, okay? The Diamondbacks and the Braves at Chase Field on June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we've got 4 tickets to each game. So, yeah, we're going to release them now. So anyone who wants to call in during the breaks, give me a call, 928-854-KNTR, and I'll set you up with either the Friday, Saturday, or Sunday game of the Diamondbacks against the Braves. That's a really good series that's coming up at Chase Field, June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And let's see, we already gave away the Red Sox tickets. Red Sox tickets all spoken for this weekend. So there you go. Anyway, in the studio we have Lake Havasu High School Principal Scott Becker with your annual update.
Yes.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having us.
I always get to talk sports with Scott, right, Andrea?
Yeah, of course,
That's Andrea Hellert. She is the Communications and Community Outreach Coordinator for the Lake Havasu Unified School District. What is it, number one? Mm-hmm. Is it number one?
It is number one.
That's funny. Number one. Perfect. All right. So anyway, we were talking about sports and that. And there were awards last night. You had the big award ceremony for what, the high school or
yes,
the district?
For the high school.
For the high school.
So my athletic director, Dustin Zampona, did a great job of putting on the award ceremony last night to recognize all of our athletes for the entire school year, not just one of the seasons. I think some of the highlights that the biggest one that I enjoy the most is that there were 156 student athletes that qualified for the AIA Scholar Athlete of the Year award, and that's not something that Lake Havasu High School gets to choose. It is set by the AIA, and we obviously turn our kids' names into them, and the AIA produces those certificates for us, and it's a great honor. When I coached, I liken these individuals because of our bus trips that we take. Many a times our students will leave at 10 in the morning and get home at midnight, but they're still keeping up with their studies. And when I stood in front of parents at my basketball banquets, I talked about these people and these students as these are the individuals that are employable in the future when they can handle business in the manner that they do, especially at a young age where time management is not always priority number one for them.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, we have Marissa in the production studio now. She's moved from intern to production assistant. And the way she keeps track of her daily things, and she has these, what are they, little notes on the screen on the computer.
Like a Post-it?
It's like a Post-it, but it's on the computer screen. And I mean, I'm learning things from her that, I mean, and she's a product of Lake Havasu High School.
Absolutely. And we're proud of those individuals that, whether they go into college, because college is not for everybody, or they go into the working world, or they go to a tech school, or they choose to go in the armed forces, and we try to educate our kids into, hey, it's a choice when you walk across that stage, and you just need to put yourself in the right position so that you're able to make those decisions.
What do students do to get that AIA recognition, and how did you get so many?
So that is based purely off a grade point average. And that is set by the state. And then we also had, I believe, four teams, and I can't name all four teams, but four teams that qualified as a team for the AIA scholarship or grade point average award as well. So I think that's pretty cool when your entire team meets that GPA. I think the team average GPA had to be at 3.5 or better.
Holy moly.
And then I want to say for the individual student, it was 3.7 or better to get the individual award.
You know, Carl Thompson, the football coach, used to call into the amateurs quite a bit on a weekly basis during the season. And I made that comment to him. It must be nice as a coach to not have to worry about academically ineligibles.
It is. It's a huge advantage because, I mean, if kids don't take care of what they have to in the classroom athletically, they become ineligible from week to week, and that not only costs them playing time on the field or the court, whatever it be, but it's also costing their teammates, and they have to answer to their teammates. I think peer pressure can be two different ways. It can be positive or negative, and I believe when it comes to academics and being part of a team, your teammates putting pressure on you to do well in the classroom, I think that's positive peer pressure.
Yeah, I completely agree with you as a former student athlete. You know, there's nothing like going into a game and finding out your star forward or one of your key players is out because of grades. You just want to, really? I would have helped you with that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, speaking of Carl Thompson, he got a special award last night.
He did. He was Lake Havasu High School's Coach of the Year.
Deservedly so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think beyond making it to the Final Four in football this year, I think his outreach is beyond the field. I don't know that I have another staff member on the campus that has an alumni following and support that Carl has at the high school. I use him as an example of when you have a kid in your classroom, they down the road, they're going to become a parent. If you stay in education long enough, they're going to be a parent of a kid that you're going to have in your classroom. Or they could end up being a coworker down the road, because at Lake Havasu High School, we do have a number of alumni that work at Lake Havasu High School as well.
Huge number, actually.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah, in a sport where there's so much negative reinforcement and, don't you know what you're doing, this, that, and the other thing. And it's almost like a Little League parent. Carl Thompson's the opposite. He's very, very much positive reinforcement.
He is, but I think also, and not that it's the rite of passage, but I think the parenting skills that Carl has as well, he treats his athletes just like he would his oldest daughter and his two boys.
Mm-hmm. And the one boy, what was he, quarterback?
He was the quarterback.
What's his
this
name,
year.
Cody?
No, that one's Tyler.
Oh, okay, Tyler
think,
Thompson.
I had to think
that's
because
it.
I always get Tyler and Trevor mixed up.
Oh, that's
Tyler was
Thompson,
the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, perfect. Now, you were telling me when you went to college, you were recruited out of high school.
Correct.
To play basketball in college, but you had a different path set, didn't you?
I did.
You don't always know what you're going to do in your junior or senior year.
You definitely don't, and I kind of tell this story every single year when I meet with the seniors for the first time and the freshman group for the first time during August when we meet with them. My original plan is I was going in the Air Force. I had my whole life laid out for me. I'm going in the Air Force. I'm going to put my 20 years in. At that time, that would have been full retirement. And then I'm going to take that resume and go to whatever airline and say, hey, I want to fly passenger planes for you till retirement. Well, I started getting recruited my junior year and thought, okay, I still love playing basketball. I went, switched my mind and said, you know what? I'm going the med route and try that. And I worked my first basketball camp, and that's where I said I want to be around kids for the rest of my life. You asked me a question prior to being on the air of, do you have any aspirations to go into the district office? And I think that my answer at this time, and I would bet a lot of money in the future that the answer will continue to be no, because it removes me too far from kids.
I like how he qualified that, Andrea, at this time, right?
Yeah, well.
So if I try to use it in the future, I can't use it.
Yes.
This would be at this time. But you were a school principal at one time, too.
Yeah, and the kids are the biggest benefit of those jobs. It's, you're there for the kids no matter what the position, but it's definitely the biggest perk to be able to see the smiles on those kids' faces every day and to be able to impact them when you're there with them, of course.
Do you miss it?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course. I miss the kids daily, but I actually get to see more kids now. I actually get to, I'm on the high school campus a lot. I get to see a lot of my older kids. I was at the grad walk yesterday at Jamaica. Even though I wasn't the principal there, I was able to go back and see them walk back into their old campus. And I get to see kids from many more campuses and support other professionals around our campus. So there's benefits to both, but I definitely agree with Scott. The biggest perks are being able to support your staff and your kids, and we get into this because of the kids. There's right. no other better reason.
So, Scott, now that you're a principal, do you miss teaching?
I miss teaching and coaching because we're back to the kids' reason. I had an opportunity. I taught PE and I coached basketball, so my classroom setting looks different than a math classroom. I had the ability to walk around the weight room and check in with kids and build stronger relationships. I'm not saying that a normal classroom teacher does not do that, but I feel like I had a different setting where I built stronger relationships. I still to this day get invited to weddings. I get, hey, coach, I remember when your little kid was in the gym and now I'm having a kid. And so I still get those notifications from ex-students and players.
My high school soccer coach was recently inducted into the Southern Nevada High School Sports Hall of Fame. And he's, I don't know, six state championships for soccer, about a handful for golf. And anyway, my brother actually did the induction speech for Coach Minigal. So it was that's pretty awesome. Cool. That's the kind of impact that coaches make, though, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you remember your best coaches?
I do. And then on the other side of that, I also remember the ones that I don't like.
Same here.
Exactly. But looking at what you don't like, it just reinforces the experiences you had with the good ones.
So you were talking about the weight room. And I got a sneak peek I guess Anderson is helping to do the renovations on that weight room.
Yes.
It looks phenomenal, the paint job.
The paint job is in, and it looks phenomenal. Today at 4 o'clock, the flooring's going in. To circle back around to relationships and what that looks like, and not the, this is not the reason we build relationships, but there are three alumni that are involved in heavily in redoing that weight room. So we have Brian Francis, we have Shawn Michaels, and Andrea Allen, who are all in different settings professionally in our community, and they are the ones that are spearheading this, and with the financial support coming from the Anderson Auto Group.
That's the picture I saw from Andrea.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations to Andrea on her new arrival.
Yes.
Right? So, Mateo.
Yes.
Cute baby.
He is.
All right.
Lots of hair.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We're with Lake Havasu High School Principal Scott Becker and Andrea Hellert, who is the Communications and Community Outreach Coordinator. Somebody, I have a feeling, wants baseball tickets because the phone's ringing already.
I hear it.
All right, we're going to go. Andrea likes country, right?
Yes.
I know you do. I can't play the hip-hop, though, Scott.
I'm good.
But you're okay with country?
I love country, too.
All right, little Tim McGraw on the way out. Stay with us. We'll be back with more on Speak Out. We're back on Speak Out. Little Trisha Yearwood. Is her husband's Garth Brooks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You know, for someone you wouldn't have to see, I mean, if you married Garth Brooks, you wouldn't see him very often, you would think, right?
Well, I think they're both professional, I would imagine.
But they've held that together for a while.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's a secret, not seeing each other.
I don't know.
Said the single guy behind the mic.
I don't know. I don't follow that all the time. But I think when they got married, they had had previous marriages.
Oh, okay.
So I think they had kids at some point when they were. Yeah.
That would be one passionate relationship with two artists like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
So congratulations to Andrew. He picked up 4 tickets to Saturday's game. Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday at Chase Field on June 3rd. It'll be the D-backs taking on the Atlanta Braves. And let's hope the D-backs streak continues. So they are playing so well. It's out of their minds, like I like to say. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology at lesolson.com/Kingman. By The Chair, Havasu style dining and great music with live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere overlooking the London Bridge. It's The Chair. Who doesn't like The Chair, right?
I like it.
Love it.
Any you place that makes me feel like I'm at the beach. Yes.
I bet.
Makes me happy.
I bet with your height, Scott, you could sit in the chair and it actually almost looks normal, right?
Possibly.
The blue chair over
chairs,
there?
Yeah.
Right, right. And by, of course, Arizona Financial Credit Union. And don't forget, we stream live and our archives are at KNTRtalk.com and on the Lake Havasu City app, available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. Does the high school have an app or a website? Or what do you guys promote the most?
We do have, we have a website that it's Knights in Action. And then also the district has a Facebook account as well, and they're all kind of linked together, and which is a good thing. It brings all of our families together, plus it creates that environment for somebody who may have a second grader or a first grader. That's what the end. We have the end in mind looking at what the high school has to provide as well.
Like knightsinaction.com?
On Facebook, it's just called Knights in Action.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
There's a few. There's the Booster Club has a Facebook page, and then there's Knights in Action, and then there's like the band. There's a few different Facebook pages for some of the clubs, but yeah, and then the district Facebook page includes every school.
Okay, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Hang up.
No, I guess we're not going to. That was a spam call. I pick up on them very fast, so we get a lot of spam calls at the office, of course. Let's see, what else was I going to talk about? Graduation.
Graduation is upon us.
Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, yes.
Lee Barnes Stadium?
Lee Barnes Stadium, yep, 7:30 it starts. People often ask, why so late? We do play with sunset a little bit. If we had it earlier, we'd be staring straight into the sunset, which... Obviously, we want our fans and our parents and people visiting to see what I believe, and I'm not biased in this in saying that I think we have one of the most beautiful views from our football stadium when that sun starts to go down over the mountains.
Amen.
And I hope for a few clouds because that's when it really shines for us.
That was done on purpose, wasn't it? The location for the high school, I've heard correctly.
It was, and when we redid the football stadium, there was conversation of switching the home stands to the other side to shade our fans and provide shade for our home fans and have our visitors stare into the sun for the games. And I was a huge proponent of, no, we're not doing that because it is one of the most beautiful views from a high school football stadium, and I wouldn't want to give that up.
It's one of the most beautiful press box views that I've ever seen
yes.
as an announcer. I'll definitely say that.
Yes.
Both the old stadium and the new stadium.
Yep.
So
from the
beautiful.
Aspect of the pictures, the number of pictures that I have to take now, I can tell you that field is the most beautiful place to take pictures on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gorgeous. When that sun sets, it's just beautiful.
So speaking of which, the banners that line the field with the student athletes, where do those come from?
So our booster club does that for each of the sports. That those are the seniors that are hung up there, and then the last game that they play on the field, they're able to meet the booster club over there. They cut them down, and then the kids walk away with them. The parents do pay for them because they are a bit pricey, if you will.
Sure.
But it's a pretty neat thing. if your picture's hanging up there throughout the entire season for everybody to see. I think it also provides a role model atmosphere for our younger kids that come to the games. And I know that's what really got me into basketball when I was younger, having my parents take me to my high school when I was in about fifth or sixth grade and,
right.
and saying, I want to be one of those guys.
Yeah, that's a really interesting concept. Does the district have something like that where the younger students, maybe middle schoolers, get to tour the high school and see what they're in for?
So we do with the middle school? Yes, we do.
That's a great idea.
So one of the person that does a really good job with this, and I'm not saying it because she lives under the roof with me, is my wife, Marcia Becker, is our CTE coordinator. And throughout the school year, the Thunderbolt students are bussed over to the high school, and they visit all of our CTE classrooms to see what our CTE has to offer and kind of plants that seed of what classes do I want to take next year coming to the high school.
Okay.
And it's extremely successful.
So with graduation tomorrow night, how many students, how many seniors?
So in this graduating class, there's 463.
Whoa, that's almost as big as my high school.
Yeah, it's getting up there. Roughly just under 430 will walk at graduation. We have some that messed up a little bit at the end, but we have opportunities for them to get things straight
right.
by the end of the week. Unfortunately, they won't be able to take part in the ceremonies. And then we have individuals that just choose to, I don't want to walk, and that's okay. That's their choice. But this is one of the largest, it is the largest graduating class that I've been a part of in my 12, 13-ish years of being an administrator at the high school.
Do the honor students wear ropes now, or is it still sash?
So we went to the Latin honors with summa cum laude, magna
okay.
cum laude, and cum laude. So our cum laude kids will wear one of the ribbons, which is a white ribbon. Our magna kids will wear a purple and a white, and then our summa cum laude will have the purple, gold, and white ribbons around.
Right. Yeah, we had the Key Club Awards for the local Kiwanis Club, and as a board member, I was there. There were some of the students, I don't want to call them kids, because they're not kids anymore. They're young adults.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That earned enough scholarship money to pay for their entire college.
Absolutely.
Yes. And we have an event for that as well. It's all part of graduation season, as I call it, because it's graduation's not a one-night thing, and
no.
we celebrate many
it's
different things. Yes, it's been a month. So our Evening of Excellence is when all of our scholarship monies are handed out. We have an extremely supportive community where there's community scholarships that are handed out. All in all, on that night, we handed out just over $2.5 million in scholarships to our graduating seniors.
Wow. That is a lot. Is K-12 Foundation still extremely involved with that, the Evening of Excellence?
So they're involved where they hold the it used to be the top 20 dinner. Now we honor the summa cum laude kids at that dinner, and they are extremely involved with that. They host it, they pay for it, and honor our students at that moment.
So what is your role tomorrow night? Do you get to actually hand out the diplomas?
So I have a few different roles. I get to do my favorite thing. I get to public speak in front of about 4,000 to 5,000 people.
You're doing that now.
Yes. Yes. there's a few introductions that I do, and then all the administrators are on stage. We shake hands with our graduates. They are receiving their diploma covers on stage at that time from two board members. And then they cross the stage, they take their picture, and then when they get to their counselor is when they actually get their diploma to put in their diploma cover. It just speeds up the process of what takes place on the stage rather than having to look and make sure that we're handing out each correct diploma cover. So that's why we do that process.
I got a text from a listener asking, where is the school?
Where's the school?
Yeah, where? What's the easiest way to find the high school?
So 2675 South Palo Verde Boulevard is the street. So if you're coming up 95, you would take a left at, what is that? It's the AMPM there,
mm-hmm.
or Carl's Jr. Take a left there and head straight up the hill, and you will not miss the football field and baseball field on your left, and that's where it all takes place.
Keep going to the traffic light, and there's the Performing Arts Center, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's how you get in there. So,
yep.
Okay, we're going to take our second break of the hour. Still have two games of tickets available, and that would be the Diamondbacks and the Braves on June. Which games do I have available now? The 2nd and the 4th. So, Scott, I think we're going to let you go.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Good luck tomorrow night speaking in front of, 5,000 people.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much.
I think you'll be fine.
Thank
Did
you.
Fine today.
Thank you.
That was in front of, 17 people? I think we have maybe 24 listeners. All right. Back with more in a moment. We'll come back with Andrea Hellert. She is the communications and community outreach coordinator. A lot of C's in there.
A lot of C's.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I was willing, but she wasn't ready. So I settled for a burger and a great snow cone. I dropped her off early, but I didn't go home. Down by the river on a Friday night.
I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name Blue Mansion, and I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like.
I mean, who doesn't remotely love that song, Andrea?
It's hard not to.
It's such a great song, isn't it?
You want to sing to it.
Right. I caught you humming to it.
I did. I always do.
Not on the mic, though.
No, thank God.
I didn't bring the mic up. Everybody can sing at least one karaoke song. You know that,
sing.
Right?
Yeah.
You can sing?
Yeah,
you have a
strong voice. I wouldn't say that I can sing opera, but I can sing.
Yeah, right. I can't even sing opera.
I can hold a tune a little bit.
The trick is, I'll tell you as a person that sings a lot of cover band songs,
Yeah.
The trick is to sing songs from bands that don't have a really good singer.
Well, then you're never going to sound worse. Is that what the goal is?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's
all right,
funny.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College. Also, SunPower by Esme Electric, samsguns.com, the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, by Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys since 2006. Are you a fan? You have pets?
Yes, Doritas. I love Doritas.
I met Dorita. How can you not love Doritas, right?
Yeah.
Also featuring self-service doggy washes and by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 52 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And don't forget to shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local. And, boy, speaking of that, I had a kind of a medical, not emergency, but something that I use that I could have ordered it online.
Oh.
And probably saved, I don't know, $50-$75, but I bought it locally.
Yeah.
But I had it now.
Right.
And
in
I
your
needed
hands.
It now.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
Well, and that's important.
And then tires. I probably spent $1,000 over this past weekend.
Oh.
And it was all local.
That's an expensive.
You know
month,
what? That's what emergency funds are for, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
That's why you keep them.
Right. So, Andrea Hellert's here. She is the Communications and Community Outreach Coordinator for the Lake Havasu Unified School District. Got so much to talk about. You brought in a list.
I do.
You're my hero.
I always have stuff to talk about. There's a lot going on in the district all the time.
What is Support Our Schools?
So Support Our Schools is an effort by quite a few organizations. We had Judy Tassi is one of the lead organizers of the event, but mm-hmm. she works with the Realtors Association and other organizations around town, including K-12 in the district and a few other partnerships where they have an event. It's morphed over the years. I met with her this morning to talk about it, and I believe it's been happening for several years. And as of last year, they had their first annual event that lasted a full week.
Oh.
And so this year, they're going to do the same thing. It'll be their second annual Support Our Schools Week, where they reach out to businesses and organizations and just citizens in the community to be able to help provide donations for the types of things in the district and around the schools in the community that are needed.
The big school supply drive.
Yeah.
I remember
yes,
that.
But it's not just school supplies.
Okay. It's not. What else is involved?
So typically the organization reaches out to the schools and they try to get lists of items that teachers might need or nurses might need. Or, I mean, it's a multitude of things. For the coalition that we created, part of the goal of that coalition is to be able to bring those needs back to the community. So basically part of my role is to ask the principals and the directors what is needed. It could be anything from needs for transient families who may be experiencing homelessness. So potentially items that they might need, health kits. We work with some of the organizations to, like, even the hospital for medical supplies. Mm-hmm. We work to get clothing with the clothes closet. That's one of the people that we work with in the coalition. But Support Our Schools is really just a way for us to be able to collect that list of donations that they will be providing, mm-hmm. So that people in the community know exactly what's needed and where they can take it.
Is homelessness, I know in other districts in the county it is a problem. Is it a big problem in this district?
Well, it exists, yeah.
It exists.
Would I say it's a big problem? I would say that it's a bigger problem than it should be. But there are definitely additional communities around Arizona that might have it a little worse than we do.
Yeah.
But we definitely experience families that, and it doesn't have to be that they're homeless. It could be that they're temporarily homeless. It could be that they're displaced. It could be that there's a fire. Like, there's so many different situations that qualify. The program's called McKinney-Vento, that we receive some support mm-hmm. under. But as a district, it's part of our job to make sure that those families have support or at least can find access to those resources. And so, you know, that's part of my role is to be able to connect our district to those community resources.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What a nice, rewarding role to have.
Yes, that's part of my favorite. It's my favorite part of the job.
Tell me what you had on your mind about human resources.
So, I mean, we just want to make sure that people are always, if you're looking for a position, especially if you're looking for a position that impacts kids, we always have positions open on the district website. Right now, we have custodial positions open. We have a couple groundskeeper positions that are open. We have a bus monitor and a bus mechanic. We have parapro positions open. We even have you heard Mr. Becker talk about their amazing new workout room. We have an athletic trainer position open.
Oh, wow.
So there are quite a few positions open on the district website. We just want to make sure that people know where to go. So we want to make sure they head to the district website and take a look at the Apply Today part of the website so that they can see if there's anything that would apply to them.
I know during this current legislative session, a big spotlight was shown on teacher retention.
Yes.
With a lot of districts across the
yes.
state. Is that a problem here?
Well, I mean, it comes and goes. You'll have different years where you see lots of retirements. I think that comes in waves, and that's sort of a natural thing. I think COVID definitely impacted some retirements earlier than they would have otherwise. But
retirement,
I think
one
it's fairly
thing.
Typical.
I mean, I can't imagine a teacher coming to Lake Havasu City, trying it out for 1 year, 2 years, and then wanting to leave. This is a very nice community.
It happens. I mean, sometimes you'll have, we love being able to recruit from different parts around the country to bring other people to our community and be able to see the amazing things that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
But you have times where, like, if you end up with a teacher who's young, who may be moving far away from their family, you know,
yeah.
they'll stay.
Right.
2-3 years and then decide that they want, yeah, and then they decide they want to go somewhere else. So sometimes that happens. Thankfully, we've had quite a few hires over the last few years where, like, they do see I think it's not just the community. The community is for sure, one of the blessings of the position, but we also have a really strong district. So I think one of the things we're also wanting to provide in terms of, like, promoting teacher retention is the support within the district so that they want to stay. And I feel like, especially over the last 6-7 years, we've really done a much better job of providing that mentorship. We mm-hmm. have, you know, connections with other teachers. There's mentorships. There's training programs. Teachers who come in for the first 3 years receive very tiered supports. So, we're doing everything we can on our end to make sure that once they get here, they have some support.
I got you.
But there are reasons why teachers move on.
What about affordable housing? I don't hear anyone talking about that anymore. Because I know, like with John Moss, who's in the district office, he commutes
from
Fort Mojave every day. And, you know, because of the lack of affordable housing. Well, his wife also works in the Bullhead District.
Yes.
So, but is that a problem?
Oh, of course.
Here, still a problem.
Yeah.
Because nobody's really talking about it anymore.
Well, it's still an issue. I mean, affordable housing is always going to be an issue because when you have people that are moving from an outside area and they're trying to, because a lot of the people that are moving here, some of them have families, but not everybody has a family. And you picture somebody who's moving into a position, right? If they don't have anything saved to move, or if they don't have any money, you know, to purchase a house or to be able to pay that first last month's rent, and the rent is $1,350 for a starter home. That's still a lot of rent, even for even for a dual income household.
Sure,
that's still a lot of rent. So you just got to kind of take those things into consideration. It is something that we still see that we need support in, and that's part of this part of the coalition effort is to work with realtors and community members to see if there are renters in our community. Do you own a home? Are you able to waive a first month's rent for that incoming teacher, right?
Right.
There's ways that we try to work to address that, or that we're at least trying to move forward with addressing it. But
I think I forwarded information to you or somebody at the district about a landlord that I knew that had a condo for rent.
And that would have gone to Lindsay Bitterman.
Yeah, I think I think if everyone did that, it would certainly help, especially this time of year, folks.
I agree.
When you have teachers that, well, maybe they're considering moving here, but they can't find anything that's affordable.
Absolutely.
And by affordable, I mean like, you know, one third or less than your take home.
Yeah.
So that's actually a big deal. So
Now
what about enrollment? How are we doing there?
So enrollment's good, but it could always be better. I feel like one of the first things that we try to do, we kick off enrollment in February. I mean, so we our kindergarten enrollment starts in February, and we are encouraging families across the community to make sure that they get their kindergartners registered immediately. Mm-hmm. We do screenings for kindergartners to make sure to know whether or not they're ready. And we do set up a kindergarten boot camp for any of those students that we feel need that extra support in the summer before they head into kindergarten. So it's absolutely crucial for people to get their kids registered and enrolled as quickly as possible. But even if you're a returning family, or you've just moved to the area, you don't have a kindergartner, but don't wait till the last minute. It's very important from the district side of things also to know how many kids we have coming in. It impacts what we know about our class sizes. It impacts where we place our kids. It impacts so many things about the planning process. And it also helps, I think, families prepare much further ahead of time, because if you enroll your child that much further ahead, you start getting district communications farther ahead.
Right.
So there's a lot of benefits to making sure that your kids are enrolled right away. And enrollment is currently in place. So if you haven't enrolled yet, please make sure you do.
Interesting. So is there do you have a census date? I don't know what you call it in the district, the date that they do the count of the, you know, the total student enrollment in the district.
I don't recall the date.
I know probably 6 weeks into the school year,
something like that.
So what do parents of kids that are, let's say, going into kindergarten or going into first grade that need to be registered for school, what do they need to bring with them, or what do they need to provide the district?
So when you go to register, it's important that you have some sort of valid identification. It can be like a driver's license, anything that has your picture on it, but also has your address on it typically. They also will require that you bring like a piece of mail, like a bill.
Utility
bill that, you know, provides proof of residency. Your immunizations will be a factor too. The nurses require that within a certain period of time that they have a record of your immunizations. That way, if students have to go to the doctor and see their doctor before, then they have that information. But really, registration is super easy. You can register straight on our website. The schools do provide paper copies if necessary, but we really encourage people to go to the website to get registered there. And you can upload the documents straight to the website. If you can't upload from your end, you're more than welcome to bring the copies to the school.
Is that new students as well? Students just coming into the district, parents can use the website for that?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
There's actually like a button if you're a new student, and then there's a button if you're like just renewing your registration.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then you have somebody review the documents, yeah, obviously, if it's a new
typically
student.
Like the administrative offices in each of the schools have to verify if you're a renewing student. You're going in to verify the information that you had entered previously, uh-huh, or changing anything. But obviously, if it's a new student, these are kids we don't have even in our database. So it's important that we're getting them into Synergy. Is our statewide database. It's where we place our grades and all of our student information.
Right.
So it's important that we get that information in there as quickly as possible to get kids set up.
So let's talk about the fun part of your job, the podcast.
Ooh, that is fun.
That I is bet
one,
it is.
That is one of my favorite parts of my job. It's called Raising Scholars, which we are.
How do we find it?
So the podcasts are located in a few different places. I post them on our Facebook page, the LHUSD Facebook page, but I also I place them within the school newsletters. There's a family and a staff newsletter. It is on our website. So if you head to LHUSD.org and you head to the communications page, it is literally on the communications page.
And what's the
page.
Name again?
Raising Scholars.
Raising Scholars, mm-hmm, podcast. Yeah. Hosted by?
Myself, Andrea Heller. Yeah.
Awesome.
And Sean Lawless over at 32 Bravo Media is our partner. Uh-huh. So he does the recording and the editing of all the videos and then provides, I do all the planning and he does the recording. And then we've done at this point, as of this Monday, we recorded, I believe, our 12th episode.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so, This last episode was actually talking to some of our alumni. We had a couple of our educators who were also alumni. I have 4 generations of alumni that are coming to speak in a couple weeks. And we had podcasts from anywhere from teachers that are teaching math, reflecting on math skills,
right,
to Mr. Moss came to talk about supporting student need.
Mr. Moss.
He did.
I've known him since he was a teenager.
Right.
That's funny.
Well, and we've had I was thinking about it because when you were talking to Mr. Becker about Mr. Zampona,
uh-huh,
we actually had 2 of the student athletes that he was referring to on our podcast,
yeah,
probably a couple months ago. We spoke with Dustin Zampona and Celeste Switzer and Jesse Pelayo Garcia, and
very
they
cool
were talking about the benefits that extracurricular activities such as athletics bring to their lives.
Well, I know a radio station owner who's an alum, by
yeah
the way.
Yes.
You should plan
absolutely
that. Right. Now I'm in trouble. He's
See,
probably
now I'm going to be contacting you, Steve. You know you should be in here.
He's probably walking out the door right now. So
no.
How often do you do those? And what is – you're a producer now. You know that,
so,
right?
So, yes.
So what? So how often do you do those? And what's the format? What are we talking about lengthwise?
So I actually do 2 podcasts. I do one for the Chamber, too. So I'm actually in his office – every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But for Raising Scholars, we typically do 2 recordings a month. It's a half hour podcast typically. Almost
that's
every single
bad
episode. No.
That's not too bad.
No, it's a half hour.
Yeah.
The topics are, it's a family based podcast, meaning the content we are recording is meant to provide value back to our families.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the purpose of it. The format is video and audio, so it's not just an audio recording. It is video. You get
right
to see the interviewee and the interviewer.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. It's a ton of fun.
And you have an intro and an outro and all
of
that,
it
huh? Wow,
yeah,
look at you. But no time constraints. It's just roughly a half hour.
I had the podcast this last Monday took us a little bit past 35 minutes,
yeah,
I think,
that's
but
fine.
It's roughly 30.
It's not like listening to 3 hours of Rogan.
It's the first time I went over, but it was a really great conversation, so it was hard to cut it off.
That's why it's a podcast.
That's right.
Perfect. Andrea Heller, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank
awesome
you for having me.
She's the Communications and Community Outreach Coordinator for the Lake Havasu Unified School District, #1. All right, back with more in a moment. I'll give you a little short community calendar when we come back. Thanks, Andrea.
He's a thinking that he's gonna get lucky. Right now, he's probably dabbing on $3 worth of that bathroom polo.
Everybody was kung fu.
Of course, a little kung fu fighting for Karate Man. Coming up next after news in a short break, it's Sean Hannity, or as we call him around the station, Sean Thanks to Linda, right? All right, a $50 gas giveaway is going on Friday over at Riverstop Chevron. And they're giving you a chance to win $50 in fuel. It's a fuel card. Who doesn't want to win some liquid gold? No purchase necessary. Just get up there. It's the only gas station in Topok, folks. Riverstop Chevron. Sign up for that $50 in free gas. It's time to stop for cheap gas and Pop-Tarts. When it's time to stop, it's Riverstop. All right. Arizona Cooperative Extension is looking to fill an associate horticulture agent position for Mojave County. That agent will focus on developing and delivering educational programs and technical assistance on horticultural crops with focus on commercial fruits and nuts and the supervision of the Master Gardeners Program of Mojave County. The position is based in Kingman. A complete description of that job can be found at the University of Arizona Talent website. Or I believe we have it posted on Facebook. Absolutely. Junior tells me, yes, it's there. All right. On tomorrow's show, Brian Springberg's coming in. Sound advice with Brian Springberg. So join us then. Stay safe out there and get a hairnet or something for that wind, especially if you're in a convertible. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.